This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
Where is your focus? There are some people that find themselves in the position where they're real estate investors and they're also running a startup in real estate. And which hat do you wear?
So
how do you describe it?
These days, I spend the vast majority of my time on the software. It really, kind of going back to what we said, I love automation. I love leveraging technology. Anytime I'm doing something, the same task twice, it's always thinking, how do we eliminate that? Being an industry expert and knowing what it's like to be behind a real estate firm and knowing all the tools that can be used, it just gets me out of bed in the morning, right? And I have a really fun time with it. So my biggest hat is the software syndication pro hat. And then I also do deals still in real estate, still managing a portfolio. We're working on a deal right now, in fact. But I've been running that company now for over 6 years. So I have my A team, I have my team around me, and that's another beauty about owning a business, especially longer term, is you can really, really replace yourself with rock stars and still have a functioning running business.
So for someone just starting out, where is the money to be made? Is it in starting a tech company or is it in real estate? You've obviously gone down both paths, but in a certain order. What's your thoughts? Where would you recommend focus?
I think that the power is in the, if your goal is to generate wealth, generate it quicker than slower, and I think that's done through products or services in a business model. Real estate is great, it's phenomenal. I love it, but it takes time to scale. So for example, if you deliver the right product or service to the market, you could very well, for example, look back in 3 years or 5 years and you could be selling your company for $100 million or much more. That type of growth is hard in real estate. You can certainly accomplish a lot, but from my experience, it's a slower pace. Look back in 10 years and you're like, wow, I did a lot. But the first 5 years, it's going to be difficult.
This is coming from someone who started off with quick flips, really. So how do you think about that? Isn't that a quick way to make money?
Well, the quick way for me initially to lose money. So it right. Can be. I think you gotta mix a good bit of luck in with the right mentors and right partners, and you can make some decent money. But doing flips, even doing fix and flips, you make a good $20,000 or $50,000 profit on a deal, and maybe you could do one a month, or you do five in the same year. That's good earnings.
Seems to me like a lot of people do that just to produce some cash flow so they can do something more strategic. Startups face the challenge too. When we were running Vongo, we were a production studio to start with. We were literally going out and consulting, building video ads for people and charging them for that. That paid the bills. This is the dilemma a lot of people have. I'm stuck in consulting, which is really what it is. I'm doing implementation and consulting for companies, whilst on the sidelines, I'm trying to build this larger vision. And it's that really delicate balance in how you switch. But it seems to me like that's how you at least thought about flips. I'm sure there's a business model there, but the way you did it was to pay the bills, to produce some cash flow, and focus on something more strategic and bigger.
Yeah, I wish that vision had come earlier on, because I was just, tunnel vision in doing fix and flips and just making money and really, really no no bigger vision other than see where this takes me for the longest time. But yeah, I really think that the power lies in terms of really scaling something significant. I think the real power lies in an innovative product or service. And you can certainly accomplish a lot in real estate. Don't get me wrong, you can make a quick buck, but in terms of that real scalable growth, it's difficult in real estate.
Now, what do you think about the future of the way we experience real estate? We've talked about the transactional side of buying real estate. What about how we experience it when we walk into a place and we make real estate something that improves our mood and makes us feel better? Specifically, I'm talking about connected devices. I'm talking about making any technology that can help improve an aspect of our life. Do you have any thoughts about how that should look and any ideas?
Yeah, I think certainly there's some points to that related to energy, the way that we consume and generate and store energy. I think certainly with renewable energy and sustainable sources and turning more and more homes into more self-sustaining. For example, your roof produces electricity for your home, right? And your home acts as part of the power grid to store electricity. So there's probably some big potentials in terms of that side of it. It in general, when it comes to technology and impacting life, one thing that has been heavy on my mind the last couple years is the way we sleep, the environment, and certainly over the last few handful of years, it's become more apparent and more obvious, and it's a bit trending that that you really should respect your sleep, respect your body, and pay more attention to your sleep habits, because there's undeniable benefits, both health and mental, and just making more out of your days if you're well charged and rested. And so you had mentioned Sleep Canvas earlier, but that is certainly another technology in terms of rethinking our bedroom, rethinking the mattress and sheets and pillow that we've all been using for centuries now, and really, really thinking about how we control that environment to maximize our experience, our sleeping experience.
Yeah, I think when we go back to looking at what we are animals, really. We've evolved from that, and we need a shelter. We need these walls. We need a roof. Why? To keep us safe and secure, to do one primary function at least also, which is to rest and sleep in safety. And it is very unnatural today how things are, and it's good to see you try to build technology to enhance our sleep. That really caught my attention. I think one of the biggest frustrations any homeowner or home buyer can have is they buy a home, then they move in, and oh my God, I hear this annoying noise. Oh my God, there's so much light coming through. I just bought an apartment in San Francisco, and it's single pane windows, and there's lots of traffic outside, and I can't change it. And I'm thinking, if I knew this, I may have rethought my decision to make such a large investment and buy. So it's crazy. In real estate, you are buying, which is going to probably be the largest expense of your life, and certainly the most important because you're spending your time there. And yet, once you're in, you're in. You're in these four walls and it's out of your control. So that environment and that cocoon of safety and sleep is really key. What is Sleep Canvas? What are you trying to achieve here?
So Sleep Canvas is an ottoman that sits at the foot of your bed, and it has a canopy that goes up and over your entire sleeping area. The sides open up during the day, so it's nice and open, but when you're ready to rest, it completely closes. It's a canvas fabric that it's completely black out. It's even noise dampening. And so with inside Sleep Canvas, there's climate control. That's probably the biggest one. So you set your temperature, it will both heat and cool the inside of the space along with ventilation and filtering so that you no longer wake up cold or wake up warm. You can have that environment set. That climate control also goes into different habits. For example, when you're waking up, a lot of us, we have this, just this morning I was in deep slumber and my alarm went off and it, you get that groggy, you know, kind of shocked awake and I despise it. And what you could actually do is just by raising the temperature by a couple degrees inside the environment, it will naturally wake you up. And introducing a little bit of light will also naturally start, your body will naturally wake up. You don't need noise to wake up. Just increasing the temperature will get your core body temperature raised, get your heartbeat going, and you'll naturally wake up within a few minutes of that fact. And so that's just one feature. You're now also in an environment where you can track sleep. So that's a big part of it. For example, you could set a sleep window where you want to be woken up instead of an exact time so that the canopy can kind of tell when you're coming out of REM, for example, try to avoid waking you up in part of your deep sleep. There's, like I said, lighting, audio, all controlled by an app on your phone. So you could set these routines. You can both, for the whole idea is to fall asleep quicker, stay asleep longer, and wake up feeling refreshed. And so giving us this environment that we can control and make adjustments to and really fine tune is the whole idea behind Sleep Canvas.
How did you come to do this? And why did you go and, you know, you're doing so much, you're building a portfolio of real estate, you've built a platform where investors can invest in your deals, sort of like crowdfunding. You've also built a white label solution called Syndication Pro, where you allow other developers to go online and solicit investors. You're also doing this. How and why did you focus on this as well? Was it that much of a problem for you personally with sleep and something you recognize, or was it just a pet project, or you know, I'm curious.
Yeah, I think it's a knack that I have to just make things better. I experienced right. It directly. You said it yourself. We were living downtown, beautiful apartment, floor to ceiling windows, in an excellent area for socializing and events. And we faced a few issues, in fact. Number one, noise. So when there were events going on, we're by an arena, so there were people partying and there were bars and things close by, and so they had a lot of noise pollution. That's very hard to get rid of. The windows, huge, beautiful windows, but they had blinds that still let in quite a bit of light. So there was that. And then those windows, those floor-to-ceiling windows, they don't necessarily open. So we also had this kind of feeling of like we couldn't get airflow, and we would have to, you know, crank the AC down for the, it was an apartment in the very top story. We'd have to really crank the AC at night, and, you know, you're cooling the entire apartment rather than just your bedroom. And so it's like, you know, all these different pieces coming together. And I just woke up one morning thinking, man, how do I encapsulate the bed where I'm sleeping, and can I control these things inside there? And that was where it all originated.
I'm personally just obsessed with the whole notion of productive sleep. Two aspects. One, I mean, both of these now sound quite crazy, but then when you describe what Sleep Canvas does, it's crazy in itself too, which is what makes it so interesting. When I was running my company, just didn't have enough hours in the day. And I'd read somewhere online that if you sleep less, you can get more done. and that we don't necessarily need to be awake the whole 8 hours. And it was called polyphasic sleeping. And there were many periods throughout, as a student and being a startup entrepreneur, I would hack my sleep. I would literally sleep 20 minutes every 4 hours, getting a grand total of maybe 2 hours of sleep. And it worked for a while, but then it was just destructive overall to, you know, when I didn't follow the schedule. I had a bit of insomnia for a while as well, and really started to get excited by dreaming and how you can sort of use your dream state to come up with ideas. But how about we just take an activity we do and just make it better, which is sleep as you're supposed to, but have a better quality sleep by having an environment around you. And that just is something that's too difficult to solve. It's easy to go jump to hacking your sleep, setting alarms, doing these techniques. That's a lot of work though to create an environment around you. So I think what you're working on is impactful and good for the world.
Yeah, thanks for the feedback, Zane. And really something that I kept coming back to is when you get a good night's sleep and you wake up on your terms feeling refreshed and you get out of bed, and that day is start and controlled right then and there. I mean, the foundation is set. And so if I could control more days, get more days just like that, I mean, how much better could your life be if you could wake up on that level every day?
Society right now is fueled by caffeine, queuing up at Phil's Coffee or Starbucks and giving that daily kick to get out. And it's good to return more back to our natural roots. And I think this is something I'm passionate about with PropTech. If we can actually look at real estate for what it's supposed to be, a container for human beings and our souls, right? How do we enrich ourselves? How do we improve the quality of our lives? And sleep is a very important aspect that we spend. I don't know, you tell me, how much of our lives do we spend sleeping? You know, it's a lot, right?
Yeah, a third, at least. Typically, a third.
Right, exactly. Cool. As an entrepreneur or even as an investor, do you have any questions that you want to ask me?
You know, I think one thing that's on my mind is with Syndication Pro, I just focus on the product. I mean, as a user of the product myself and knowing people who use it, I really focus on delivering a product. And of course, there's a notion of product-led growth that's out there. Delivering the product and the growth will come behind the right product. And so I'm wondering, with your successes and with Fungal, what contributed to your amazing success from a growth side? Was it product led, or were there other factors that really just provided that explosive growth and success?
Yeah. Companies are successful when they double down on their core competency. And that usually comes from the founder's skill set or the founding team skill set. And we didn't have the skills that you have as a founder. I was not a technical founder. I picked up a bit of coding after I sold my company because I realized it was such a big gaping hole. We were held back by good technology in the early days. You know, Jack, my co-founder, and I, we were more hackers, we were more designers, more sales focused. And that is something we doubled down on. We spent a lot of time getting customers in to the point where we actually raised funding on a deck and pre-orders. And it's scary because now I've got this venture funding behind me. I've convinced investors to bet on me. I've got customers wanting this product. I actually have to build it out. And that's certainly one way to do it. And we had the best damn sales team, like literally in the world. Our competitors would say that too. I would probably credit some of my competitors had really good technology in some areas. We had it in other areas, but we were standout amazing at sales. And that was a lucky thing for us because we were in an industry where, you know, we were one of the first movers. Market share was there to capture. We expanded fast. We had a big sales team. We set up offices in 8 different countries eventually. And we were really progressive and fast. We even hired 2 great sales leaders, a guy called Ben Bear, who now isn't with the company. He's I think he's a CBO at Spin, and a guy called Jeremy Bondi, who's just like one of the best sales leaders I've ever worked with. And he didn't have experience when he joined us. So he had some experience, but not the experience you think you need. He didn't come from the industry, but he had that hustle and we looked to hire people who had that type of skill set. So that's probably what helped our company. I think it's very dangerous to try and pretend to be Steve Jobs, to be a visionary who can predict where the market's going. The only exception is someone like you. And the reason I say that is because you are a software entrepreneur. You are your own customer. You buy real estate, so you know what the problems are. And the best companies come from founders who actually have a problem and they're frustrated by the problem to the point where they say, you know what? If this isn't going to work, I'm going to go about something better. Just how you said, when you tried to list your deals on the existing crowdfunding platform, they wouldn't take you. You said, screw that. I am going to go and I am going to just create my own platform. And you know what? I'm going to open up the platform to others as well, and I'll launch another company. We did something similar at Vungle too. In order to get immediate revenue, we were running our ads on other platforms and they were just terrible. You know, we were running video ads on mobile phones, and the video ads we built might be portrait. These platforms had no way to show portrait ads. It would just clip off the image. We were outraged. We were contractually agreeing with our customers, we'll get you 5,000 installs, 5,000 users. But when we went to the platforms, they were like, oh, we're not going to give you users. You just pay per view, you pay per click. I think that's outrageous. So then I went ahead and then we built the platform. We transitioned from a production studio, a sales agency, to just being like, you know what, we have to get the technology right. And, you know, we did do the technology very well, but it wasn't a core competence of ours. We probably would have done better if, you know, we had that from the very start. So that's probably what I'd say. It really depends on the founder's competence. Whatever skills you have, though, use it. The cards you're dealt, whether you've got a pair of aces or you've got a 3 and a 7, you'll make it work. That's what entrepreneurs do.
Excellent. Yeah, that's some great feedback and insight. Absolutely. Appreciate that.
Cool. Great. Well, look, this has been so much fun. Going to be keeping an eye on what you're up to for sure. So thanks for being on the show.